And we're hoping your Aleph Amud Aleph top line. We talked about yesterday a machlokas of Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish on the question of the morning, Ali. We talked about yesterday machlokas of Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish on the question. Suppose that one of the brothers did chalitza with the Yavama, then he married her. So everybody agrees that for him himself, there's an issue of love involved because the Torah says, Asher lo yivne es beis achiv, that he will not build up his brother's house. And so we learn from that there's a love to not ever build it up again, meaning not to marry her once he did chalitza with her. The question then is, what about the other brothers? Rish Lakish says the rest of the brothers is still an issur kares, because after all, for them, she's their brother's wife, and there's no mitzvah of yibum involved since chalitza was already done. Rav Yochanan would say that all of them is alav. So we brought in this connection of Braisa that said that a man does chalitza with his yavama, then he was makadisher, then he dies, so she needs chalitza from the other brothers. And then the braisa continues, if one of the brothers then was makadisher, ein lo olav klum, she doesn't have anything on him, meaning she doesn't require a get from him. So we said, according to Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish and Rav Yochanan had used that as a question, the first part of the question on Rish Lakish, that if there's an issur kares to all of them, why should she need chalitza from the rest of the brothers? And then on the other hand, Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, well, according to you, if it's only an issur lav, why doesn't she need a get? Kiddushin should be tofus. And the answer was, we said Rabbi Akiva says kiddushin aren't tofus with chayvei lavin, so the braisa could be according to him. Although we left that as a kasha because the braisa should have said that's only according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara continues. Rav Ashi savala k'Rish Lakish. Rav Ashi holds like Rish Lakish in the original din that if one of the brothers other than the one who did chalitza marries her, then he's chayav kares or mataretz like Reb Shimon. So he has to explain the braisa like Reb Shimon. We'll explain in a second what that means. We learned previously that Reb Shimon says that there are some that when we said in the Mishnah Eisha Sachiv Shaloi Hoya Bar Lomay, that you have a case of a brother who was born after one of the previous brothers, after the previous brother who was married to this woman passed away. We said that Reb Shimon distinguishes between whether the new brother was born before or after Yibum was done. So we'll explain in a second how, according to Rav Ashi, explains that the braisa that we quoted before can be understood according to Rav Shimon, if we assume that we're talking about brothers who were born. And when we say achim, we mean brothers who were born afterwards. So we'll see that soon. Ravina savala k'Rav Yochanan, mataretz k'Rabbanan. On the other hand, Ravina holds like Rav Yochanan that if one of the other brothers is makadish and marries this woman, they're only over on a lav, they're not chayav kares. So therefore, he has to explain the braisa according to the chacham. So Rav Ashi sava lo k'Rish Lakish mataretz lo k'Rav Shimon. What does he mean? He explains like this: Hacholat liyivimtoi. He does chalitza with his yavama v'chazav v'kitcha. Then he's makadisher. Tzricha chalitza mina achin. Then she needs chalitza from the brothers. Man achin. Which brothers would she need chalitza from? Achin hayiloyim, not the ones who already were alive before the kiddushin, because Rish Lakish is saying that all of those kiddushin aren't tofus because it would be an issur kares for any of them to marry her. However, then you can have brothers who were born later on after the kiddushin. So the fact that he did chalitza takes away the Zika that would have applied to them, therefore to them, the original Zika, which the guy did chalitza for, and now did kiddushin, doesn't count anymore. So the scenario would be, for example, so Reuven was married to this woman, he passed away, Shimon did chalitza with her, then he was makadisher, then Shimon dies. So now we're saying So now we're saying if Levi was born after that, Reb Shimon is going to say, if Levi was born rather after Shimon was Mekadesher and before Shimon died, then Reb Shimon is going to say that Reb Shimon is going to say that Levi could conceivably do Yibum with this woman, because after all, the fact that she was Reuven's wife doesn't matter, because the zika of that was already taken away by the chalitza. And therefore, she's just Shimon's wife, and therefore, the usual case of Yibum or Chalitza would apply. So now, even Reb Shimon would agree that fine, you can't do Yibum with her on account of, after all, even the first brother wasn't supposed to, even the second brother, rather, I should say, Shimon, wasn't supposed to have married her in the first place. There was an Issur Lav, according to everybody. So none of the other brothers, so even the newly born brothers, shouldn't do Yibum with her, but they have to do Chalitza. And then the Braisa continues, Omad Echad, if one of the brothers, and we would understand, Rav Ashi would understand, that one of the brothers means Min HaNoilodim, one of the ones who previously were born, one of the ones who already lived before Reuven passed away, the Kidsha, if he was Mekadesher, Ein La Olav Klum, then she doesn't have anything on him, meaning she doesn't need a get from him, Kiman Kirish Lakish. So all of this whole Braisa then would be going like Rish Lakish. So when we have then, so if we have, so let's say, for example, so let's draw out one. You want to ask?
Didn't we say at some point in time that there's no, the Yibum and Chalitza go together, and if there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza?
That's on a Daraisa level. Because first of all, that's on a Daraisa level. Once we start talking things that are Bonan, then we're saying there can be chalitza when there's not Yibum. We're going to have that throughout the Masechta. But second of all, over here, when we say requires chalitza, one meaning of it is because if they were to do Yibum, kedushin would be tofus, but we don't want them to. We don't want them to do that aveira. So let's draw out our scenario here in more detail, and then we'll understand it more clearly. So let's say we have, for example, to begin with, three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven was married to the woman, then he passed away. Shimon does chalitza with her, then Shimon is Mekadesher. So far, Shimon has committed an Isser Lav according to everybody, because everybody agrees, both Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, that if he's Mekadesher, then he's over on the Lav of Lo Yivne. Now, suppose that now, after Shimon was Mekadesher, now that a fourth brother, Yehuda, is born, and then Shimon passes away. So now, whether before or after Shimon passed away, if Levi were to do Yibum with her, so then were to be Mekadesher, then Rabbi Yechanan holds he would be Chayiv Kares. Rish Lakish holds he'd be chayiv kares because Rav Ashi is understanding the Braisa according to him, because there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Now, what about Yehuda? So according to Reb Shimon would take the view that since Yehuda was born after Shimon gave her chalitza, then the fact that previously she was Reuven's wife doesn't matter, because that zika was taken away. Now we're up to the fact that she was Shimon's wife. And fine, he was in the world at the same time as Shimon. He was born before Shimon passed away. Therefore, Reb Shimon is going to say that Yibum could conceivably be applicable with her. It wouldn't be an Issur Kares. It wouldn't be the problem of Eish HaSachem Shalai Hoya Ba'olamai, because he was in the Olam at the same time when Shimon was married to her. The fact that Reuven was previously married doesn't matter. Now, Reb Shimon is going to say, though, the Braise is going to be telling us, the fact is Shimon was over on a Lav in order to marry her. So now, if Yehuda were to marry her, he would be over on a Lav as well. We don't want him to be doing that. So therefore, nevertheless, though, since it's only an Issur Lav, and according to the Chachamim, Kedushin are Tofus by an Issur Lav, if Yehuda were to do Yibum with her, then he wouldn't be Chai, it would be Tofus, he wouldn't be Chai of Kares. But we don't want him to, because we don't want him to be over on a Lav. Therefore, we're going to tell him do Chalitza. Therefore, we're going to tell him he's required to do Chalitza in order for her to marry anybody else, because there does exist a Zika with him.
Would the children be considered?
No, the children would not be considered. No, the children wouldn't be mamzerim, because the basic rule is whatever case we say kiddushin aren't tofus, then the children are mamzerim. I guess you have the exception of if a Jewish man marries a goyim or a shivcha, then the children aren't mamzerim. They're goyim or they're goyim or avodim, respectively. But in general, the basic rule is with a Jewish woman, if kiddushin aren't tofus, then the children are mamzerim. If kiddushin are tofus, the children are not mamzerim. So since according to the Chachamim, and this is the halacha, kiddushin are not tofus only when there's kores involved. Then therefore, since here there's only a lav, according to the Shimon, and according to the Shlokish, according to the Shimon, as interpreted by the Shlokish, and as this Braisa is saying, then it would come out the children, if Yehuda were to marry this woman, the children wouldn't be mamzer. However, he'd be over on an isur lav. And because he'd be over on an isur lav, we don't want him to do that. Instead, however, we're going to tell him you do need to do chalitza, because otherwise there still exists a zika. So all of that is one way of learning the braisa. Ravina savala k'Rav Yochanan matarat tzva liber d'rabbanan. Ravina, meanwhile, holds like Rav Yochanan that only the one who did chalitza to her is Rav Yochanan said that all of them. All of the brothers, Shimon, as well as Levi, as well as any other brothers who marry this woman after Shimon had done chalitza with her, there would be only an isur lav involved because at one point she was mutter to all of them. But obviously not brothers who were born later on, according to the Chachamim, because according to the Chachamim, Eishes Achim Shalahei Baylamai, doesn't matter whether the brothers were born before or after the Yibum or before or after the Chalitza, because according to the Chachamim, regardless, we do have to take into account the fact that it was Reuven's wife. So therefore, Mataratzal Libid Rabbanon, so therefore Rabbina will understand the whole Braisa according to the Chachamim. Namely, let's start over. Good morning, Yaakov. A person does Chalitza, one of the brothers, Shimon, does Chalitza with the Yavama, because of a Kitcha, then he was Makadisher. So he was over on a lav. The other brothers, if they were to marry her, would also be over only on a lav. Therefore, tzrich chalitza min ha'achin, she needs chalitza from the brothers. And man achin, achin hanoylodim, and achim means the ones who were already born. Kiman k'Rav Yochanan, namely like Rav Yochanan, who says that if any of them were to marry her, they would be over only on an isur lav. Again, an isur lav kiddushin or tofus. Well, if kiddushin or tofus, then yibum they can't. So because the lav, they shouldn't be doing yibum. But nevertheless, the zika still exists, and therefore they have to do chalitza to deal with that. On the other hand, omad echad min hayiloy b'kitcha. On the other hand, the braisa would continue if one of the brothers that was born later on, the word yiloidim would mean the ones who were yet to be born, meaning who were yet to be born when Reuven passed away. If one of those brothers is Makadisher, Ein lo olav klum, then she doesn't have anything on him, no get is required. Kiman k'rabbanan, that would be like the Rabbanan, who say that Eishes Achiv Shalayhoi Baylamai is always also to this woman. Doesn't matter whether they were born before or after the Yibum or the Chalitza was done, as long as they were not yet born before Reuven passed away, then she's also to them as an Issur Kares. Well, an Issur Kares, Kiddushin Ar Tofus means that if they were Mekadosher, they don't require a get. In fact, Tosfos says it could have even said like Reb Shimon. Suppose that the next brother was born after the chalitza and before the he was born after the chalitza and before the next kiddushin. But okay, we'd rather make it work like the chacham. So those are two ways of explaining the braisa that therefore the resha and the sefer don't contradict each other as we originally thought, and we're not forced to say that the end of the braisa that kiddushin are not tofus. We're not forced to say that that's only according to Rabbi Akiva. We're able to say that either it's according to that either the braisa as a whole is according to Rabbi Shimon, or the braisa as a whole is according to the Chacham. Okay, so that's that. New discussion. Itman habo al yivama uva echad min ha'achin al tzarosa. So now let's have another case. We said in the Mishnah that when you have tzaros, so you have, for example, Reuven, the brother who passed away, had two wives. So we talked in the Mishnah about where one of them is an erva, to one of the brothers, and therefore there's no zika involved over here. But now let's talk about there's no nothing of that. There's no relationships between the women and any of the brothers outside of marriage. But just we have like this: Reuven to begin with was married to two wives. He passed away. Now what we say is, when a man has two or more wives, when chalitza or yibum is done with one of them, it patters all the other ones. So if Reuven was married to Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah, for example, then once yibum or chalitza is done with one of those four women, all the other ones, the zika is taken away and all of them are able to marry whoever they want. So now, haba al yibama. So suppose now Reuven had two wives, let's say. Shimon now did Yibum with one of them. And now one of the other brothers went and had relations with Hutsara. So Shimon did Yibum with Sarah, and one of the other brothers now went and had relations with Rivka. So Pligibar of Acha and Ravina. So now Rav Acha and Ravina argue what would be the din. What is he over on? Chad Oma Bekores, Chad Oma Be'eser. One says that the other brother, Levi, who did that, is Chayav Kares, because she's his brother's wife, where there's no Yibum, because Yibum was already done by Shimon. But Chadom of Esed, the other one says that she's only over on an Esed. It's actually okay. This is not really a new discussion yet. This is a continuation of the previous one. Mandom of Kares Kares Shlokish. So the one who says that it would be Kares holds like a Shlokish. So again, just like we said before, that if one of them did chalitza and then one of the other brothers marries her, then Resh Lakish would say he's chayav kares, because even though at one point she could have been mutter to him, and the fact is that she wasn't. The fact is chalitza was done, and that takes away the zika. Now she's back to being his brother's wife, and therefore there's an iser kares. So therefore, according to Resh Lakish, the same thing would apply over here. One of them did Yibum. That also took away the Zika. Now the rest of them are Chayav Kares. On the other hand, the one who says she's only over on an Eser would be saying like Rabbi Yechanan. We said yesterday that Rabbi Yechanan says, in effect, when one of them does Chalitza, he's doing it on behalf of all the other brothers. And when one of the women does Chalitza, she's doing it on behalf of all of her tzaris. So the same thing over here. When she does Yibum, she's doing it on behalf of, or the same way. When Shimon does Yibum, he's doing it on behalf of all the other brothers. So therefore, all of them, in a certain sense, share in that. And therefore, for all of them now, there's no kodesh of Eishes Ach anymore. All there is left is the Eser of... All there is is the Eser, namely, so yesterday we talked about a lav. There's a lav that kivin shabloy bona shuv lo yivne. If he didn't build her, in other words, if he didn't build up his brother's family by doing yibum, then we said shuv lo yivne, that he's not allowed to. Here, where one of the brothers did yibum, then you have an Eser involved, namely the Torah says, the Torah says that same pasuk asher lo yivne as base achiv, he doesn't build his brother's household. Base is in the singular, implying that bais echad hu boina, he only builds one house and not two. So that is where we learn the concept that you don't do yibum with both wives, and that or that you don't have that one brother does yibum with one and the other does yibum with the other. So you have an implicit essay over there to only do yibum with one wife. So here, if Shimon does yibum with one and Levi does yibum with the other, then Levi is over on the essay of the fact that he built the second bias. But only an essay, we're saying, according to this opinion, not Kares. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel a different girsa, that the second opinion is not that he's over on an Eser, but rather that he's over on a lav. Namely, the same lav that we said before, of Asher lo Yivne, Because what, in other words, happened? What the way we learn it is Shimon did do Yivne. He did do Yibum. On the other hand, Levi did not. He did not do Yibum with one of the wives while he had the chance. So now when he does, then he's also over on Shuv Lo Yivne. He's over on that he's marrying the woman when there's no Yibum involved, because Yibum's already been accomplished by Shimon, and therefore Rabbi Hananel and Tosfos have the Girsa that he's over on alive. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, but still not Kores. Okay. Next, now we have a new discussion. Omer of Yehuda Amaram, Sora Soita Asura. Suppose that one of these wives was a Soita. So one of them. So now in the sugi over here, we're actually going to be talking about a few different kinds of Soita. We know a classic Soita is where there's a suffix. Whether she was in stira with another man, and we're not sure if she was mezana with him. Here we're going to be talking about the word soita can also mean that she was actually mezana, that we actually have edim of it, which in that case her husband would have to divorce her, but let's say he didn't have a chance to do that yet. And then we can also talk about what the Gemara is going to call soon, soita dirabanan, namely where her husband disappeared. She remarried. Adam came and said that her husband is dead. She remarried, and then her original husband showed up. So that's called a sota dirabanan. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn many, many cases about what happens to such a woman. All kinds of different things that happen. Most of them as knosis dirabanan over the fact that the Gemara says she should have been more careful. She shouldn't necessarily have taken that edus at face value. We'll get to that later in the Masechta, and we'll see what exactly the consequences are for her. But anyway, so we call that an arsugya sota dirabanan. So now Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav soras sota asura. So not only the sota. So let's say, for example, the first kind of sota, or the second kind, really, of the list of the ones that we were saying, where she was actually mezana. So Reuben was married to two wives, Rachel and Leah. Rachel was mezana, and there were actually edim that she was. So now Reuben is supposed to be divorcing Rachel. However, before he had a chance to divorce her, then he died. So now we're saying, so Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav, Soras Soita Asura. That not only the Soita herself, not only Rochel herself, but even her Tzara, Leah, is also Osir in Yibum. Because Tuma Ksibba Ka'arayas, because the Pasuk calls a Soita Tomei, which is the same expression that's used by Arias, where it says Al Tamu B'Cholayla. So therefore, the same rule applies. The same way as if Rachel was the daughter as we said in the Mishnah, if Rachel was the daughter or the sister from the mother's side or any of the 15 relatives that we said in our Mishnah to one of the brothers, then we said she's an erva to him, and he's potter from Chalitza and Yibum with her, and also with her Tzara. The same way over here, a Soita is in the same category because the Pasuk calls her Tomei as well. So the Gemara says Masiv Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, what do you mean? We learn later on in the Perek, Rav Shimon Omer, the Osa Chalitzasa Me'ochav Shorushin Pateras Tzorasa. Later on in the Masechta, we talk about the case of the third case of Soita that we said, where a woman's husband disappeared and they came and told her that he's dead. She got married. Then her husband showed up. So for one thing, she has to get a get from both of them. But then the Mishnah continues over there. What happens if her first husband and her second husband die before they have a chance to give her a get? Then both groups of brothers need to do chalitza with her. They can't do yibum because she's also to both of them. But Reb Shimon says that once she does yibum or chalitza with a brother of one of the brothers of the first husband, then she does pater her tzara. Because Reb Shimon takes the view the chachamim will penalize her that she's also to her husband, but after all, she is to a certain extent considered an anusa. She, it's the equivalent of having been raped, after all. She thought that she was mutter to marry, and then therefore she did, which is the equivalent of that she had relations unwillingly. She wouldn't have done that if she had known her husband was alive. So therefore, Rav Shimon says that, so Rav Shimon will say that she's still mutter to her yavam, and therefore once he does yibum with, once her yavam, once one of the brothers of her first husband does yibum with her, then he patters her tzara. So Rav Shimon I'm a biyasa chalitzasa me'achav shorishin parteret tzarasa. So you see that just because she was a sota, just because she was mizana, doesn't necessarily, in that particular case, it was mizana unwillingly, but still, we still see that it doesn't necessarily mean that yibum or chalitza doesn't apply. So the obvious question. So first of all, the Gemara says, "Amalach Rab." So Rab will answer you. How are you comparing? Amina loch anos soita d'oraisa. I'm telling you a case of a soita d'oraisa where she was mizana willingly and there were aidin. And I'm telling you that chalitza and yibum. I'm telling you that there's no chalitza and no yibum. But at amatli soita d'rabbanan. You're telling me instead a case where she's only considered a soita d'rabbanan. Because after all, Daraisa, we would say, look, there were Adim that she's allowed to be married. She relied on them. Daraisa, we wouldn't penalize her. It would be considered that she had had relations with Onus. Only Midrabanan are we penalizing her because she should have been more careful, as we'll learn later on in the Masechta. So it's not comparable at all. Of course, if it's only Drabanan. So actually, Rashi mentions the cases over there that there was one aid, actually. We'll get into those details much later in the Masechta. We'll talk about all the ins and outs of those, what happens when there's one aid, what happens when there's two aidim, etc. Anyway, the point is that midaraisa should be considered an anusa. So obviously, she's not also even to her husband, let alone to her yavam. Only the Chachamim made a gzera that she's not. So again, a gzera of the Chachamim requires chalitza, therefore, because that can't take away the zika d'araisa and leaves us that she has to do chalitza. So how do you compare? Rab says there's no comparison between a sota d'araisa, where she was mezana and there were edim, versus a sota d'rabbanon, where she remarried without being careful. So Gemara says, you're right. So what was Rav Chista even thinking to bring up the point? And the answer is Kasavar, he holds called the Tokun Rabbanon, Kein D'oraisa Tokun. When the Chachamim make a Takana, they usually make it as similar as possible. To the original Din D'oraisa. So therefore, Rav Chista assumed that this Takana de Rabbanon, that she's also to her husband, is going to be in a similar way to the and that she's also to her yavam in a way that requires chalitza but not yibum. That he thought that would be similarly d'oraisa, and therefore with a sota and hutzara, that therefore there should at least be chayev d'oraisa in yibum. And only we would say because there's an isur lav involved, then again then chalitza would be required. So Tosfos points out, I mean, why is Rav Chista asking the question? That was according to Rav Shimon's opinion. The Chachamim obviously disagree and say they need chalitza, that the brothers of both husbands have to give her chalitza, whereas Rav would say that no. So you could say Tosfos says that in that case it is a sota d'rabbanan. Midaraisa, you would say she needs chalitza, and then we would say that the same thing applies d'rabbanan. But we focused on Reb Shimon, who said that even yibum could be done. But yeah, the same basic idea would be according to the Chachamim, who say that chalitza would have to be done with both sets of brothers. Anyway, Tosfos goes on to mention, and various other Rishonim also talk about, there is actually, so now, from all Gemara over here, it comes out that Rav is saying just that the Sota and Hutzara don't require Yibum or Chalitza. On the other hand, there's a Gemara in Sota, which actually we're going to have soon, which actually we're going to quote the Mishnah in Sota now, and a little bit of the Gemara on it, that implies that she does need Chalitza. So the Machlokas Rishonim then, what the deal about that is. Do we say, do we say the halacha is like what Rav is saying over here, that she doesn't need it? Or is the halacha like what it says in the Gemara and Sota over there that she does? And maybe she only needs it misafik, etc. So a big machlokas a poskim on that particular detail. In general, I think the poskim say that she should have chalitza in that case. However, if there's other reasons to be makel, for example, if chalitza is going to be particularly difficult, one case where you have sometimes that unfortunately used to come up every so often. I don't know how much it does and nowadays anymore, but you could have a case where the brother of, or one of the brothers of the mess was a mummer, Rahman al-Aflan. So therefore, to get him to agree to do chalitza would be extremely difficult. So in cases like that, then Achronim talk about where you have the suffix of anyway, whether she needs chalitza, then we can be makel in order not to have to force her to have to deal with this mumma. But otherwise she should get chalitza. So the Gemara continues. Masiv Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, I have a contradiction to what Rav is saying. The first Mishnah in Sota says about the Sota. So here we're going to talk about the first kind of Sota, where we don't know for sure that she was Mizana, but after all, there was Stira over here. And she's also to her husband because of that. So the Mishnah says, Nichnase imayla seser, if after her husband warned her, Alfi Sosri im Ishpoini, she went and was alone with this other guy, and she was with him alone the time that it would take to become Tomei, the time that would take for Bia, which is more discussed over there, Asur Labesa, and she's also to her husband until she drinks the soita water, and if her husband is a Kohen, she's also not allowed to eat Tumah, the Immes, and if he dies, she has to do Chalitza, she does not do Yibum. Rav is saying she doesn't have to do Chalitza. And the answer is Omalach Rav. Again, Rav will tell you it's not comparable. Amina Loch Anos Sota Badai, the Amitli At Sota Sofid. I'm telling you a case of Badai where we know that she was Mizana. You're bringing me from the Gemara and from the Mishnah and Sota that talks about where there's only a Sofid. Fine, there's Raglayim Lodova, but the fact is it remains a Sofid. So therefore, so that would be why she needs Chalitza. But in my case, where she was Mizana Badai and there were Edim, then Rav's saying no Chalitza. So they want to ask Maishna
Chalitza or no?
So not necessary. It's not necessary to do Chalitza in the case she was Mizana Vadai. That's what Rav is saying, because since the Pasuk calls her Znus, called it Tumah, the Nister of Ahinitmah, and Arayas are also called Tomei, then it means the Torah is in effect saying, according to Rav, that a Sota is in the same category as Arayas. So again, the same way as, for example, in our Mishnah, we said if there were two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, and Shimon is married, let's say, to Reuben's daughter, and then he dies, then we say that Reuben is Reuben doesn't do chalitza or yibum neither with his own daughter nor with her tzara. There's no zika at all. Then in that case, the same way Rav would say over here that there's no zika with the soita or the soita or even with her tzara. Yeah. So
the Gemara, because
the same way the tzara comes off if she's the tzara of Reuben's daughter, right? The same way as Chamesh Yesu Noshim Poitra Tzara saying. So Rav is in effect saying that the soita is in that category as well. You know, we learned previously on Daf Test, Daf Yud, that complicated part with diagrams and all. Besides for the 15 in our Mishnah, it's actually possible to construct several other cases as well. So now we're saying here's another one that according to Rav can be constructed where Poitras Tzara is saying. Again, we did say in the Gemara that a reason not to list them would be because you don't have Tzoris Tzora Tzehen in that case. Because in the cases of our Mishnah, for example, where let's say Shimon was married to Reuben's daughter, and then Shimon dies, so Reuben, so there's no Zika with Reuben, with the daughter or with her Tzara. However, Levi, another brother, can validly marry either one of them. And if Levi marries one of them, marries the Tzara, and then he dies and he has another wife of his own, then Yehuda is then Reuben, again, Reuben is Potter from Yibum with both them, from Yibum or Chalitza with both them, and Yehuda will be Chayev. And so it goes down the line, Tzara saying, Ad Sofa Olam. Whereas in the case of Tzara Sota, you don't have it. All the brothers would be equally also to do Yibum with the Sota or with her Tzara. So therefore, so it gets cut off over there. So there's not sorry, it's sorry saying, right? So the Gemara asks, Umaishna sota vadai, my timer. So what are you telling me that by a sota vadai, which is Rav's case, where we know that she was Mizana, and you're saying the reason why she's potter from Chalitza and Yibum, Mishum Dechtiv Batuma, because the Pasuk uses the expression Tuma in connection with her, well, sota sopik nami Tuma Ksivaba, nu, and by a sota sopik also, it says the word Tuma. The Tanya, Rav Yosi ben Kippur Oime Mishum Rav Alazar, Hamach Zugru Shose Min Anitsuin. Now, here we're going to bring in another. Case. We know the Torah tells us in Parashat Kisei that if a couple divorces and the woman remarries, then she's never allowed to remarry her first husband. So now that's called machzor grushasei. So machzor grushasei min anisuin. If she had had nisuin with her second husband. And then he died or divorced her, Asura, then the first husband is not allowed to remarry her. I mean, Erosin, but if she only did Erosin with the first husband, with the second husband, and then he died, Muteres, then Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur is saying that she would be mutter to her first husband, Meshum Shenema Achre Asheru Tamar, because the Pasuk says that she's not allowed to return to her first husband after she became Tomei. Tomei implies Bia, and there was no Bia over here. It's not like the second husband is doing anything wrong per se by marrying her and have relations with her. He did do proper kedushin and nisuin with her. We're talking about it's tumah relative to her first husband, that he's not allowed to remarry her. Relative to him, it's considered tumah. And the chum say it doesn't matter. Achas du v'achas du asura. Either way should be asur, because the pasuk says v'hocha v'hoisa le'isha acher. Hoisa means kedushin. As we will learn extensively in the Masechta Kiddushin, that the word hoisa and that the word hoisa refers to kiddushin, havaya means kiddushin. So therefore, as soon as she has kiddushin, then her first husband is not allowed to be married.
Nothing to do with tumah. Ela mani
mukayim achre hutamah. So what am I doing with the words achre hutamah, which implies you, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, are saying that it kicks in only when she's had relations, only when she's done nisuin and had relations with her second husband. That is l'rabbis soita shenistira. It comes to include a sota who was secluded with another man. So you see, therefore, that even when she's secluded, she's called Tomei. The Nistra of Ahinitma, the Pasuk says. The Nistra of Ahinitma in the parasha of Sota is talking about when she was actually Mizana. But the word, the Chachamim are saying over here, Achre Asheru Tamar, comes to include a Sota Shenistra. So we see that as soon as Nistra, she's already called Tomei. So by Rav's logic, that whenever we use the word Tomei means off limits for Yibum and Chalitza, means no Zika, well then the same thing should apply to a Sota Shenistra. And the answer is, the Gemara says no. Umay nistra nivala. No, because you can say that the word nistra over here means that she actually had relations. So the exact case that Rav is talking about. Vamay korilam nistra. So why are we using the word nistra? Lishnamal yonaka. Because we're using a nicer lashon instead of actually saying nivala. We're using a nicer lashon. So therefore, fine. So the pasuk is not in fact talking about sota shenistira, but rather only when nivala. So when nivala, then she's called tomei, not necessarily when nistira. Which is why Rav is saying that if nistira, then the Mishnah in sota is telling us that she needs chalitza. But if nivala, then not. Then Rav is saying she's potter.
Because the zikah is off.
Exactly. So the Gemara asks, Nivala tumah behedyaksi, but the Nistra of Ahinitma. What do you mean? By if she was actually Mizana, then it actually says clearly in the Pasuk, the Nistra of Ahinitma. So you wouldn't need it to say Tomei again. Wouldn't we have to say, therefore, that it means that the one's talking about where she was Mizana and the other one where we're not sure if she was? And the answer is, Lamekam Allah Balab. The answer is that if we only had the words v'nistra v'hinitma, we wouldn't know that there's a lav for her husband to have relations with her. Now we know that there is, since it says achre asheru tamar. So we are saying that does include that if he has relations with her, if he marries her now, he is over on a lav. But not necessarily that the zikah should be off.
The lav is that. That even if it were just the Erison, That's what
so the lav is, the lav is that even once Nistra, if he has relations with her, no, not where she remarried, where she's a sota, where she's a suffix sota, the classical kind, what we usually think of as sota, described in the Sechta Sota, where he tells her about the sasri and ishplani, and we don't know whether she was mizana. From that parasha over there, you don't have anything clearly saying that there's a lav if he has relations with her. Now from the words, achre asher tamah, we're including that as well. But in terms of the zika coming off, that we can still say is only by a sota vaday, not by a sota son. Okay. So the Gemara asks, so the Gemara continues, Rav Yossi ben Kippur, lav v'sota lesle. Now it comes out then, according to Rav Yossi ben Kippur, who says that the Achri Asheru Tamar is teaching us a din about Machzor Grushase, then according to him, lav v'sota lesle, he holds there is actually no lav about a sota at all, because he's using the words Achri Asheru Tamar for a different purpose. And therefore, v'afilu zanoi nami. In fact, Rav Yossi ben Kippur would say that even if she was mezana, then after her first husband divorced her, then her husband would still be allowed to remarry her. My timer, havaya v'ishus k'sivva, because the pasuk says two things. It says v'hoisa v'ishacha, which implies kiddushin, and then it says achri asheru tamar, which he's saying is referring to where they had relations. So only where there was kiddushin and relations, only then is she also to her first husband to remarry him. But if there was only kiddushin, then we said before, we quoted before the braisa, that he would say it's mutter. And also, if there was no kiddushin, only znus, then also he would say she's allowed to remarry her first husband. Because again, according to him, you need both. You need havaya, which is kiddushin, as well as hutama, namely relations with her new husband.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So therefore, if there was either one, or if there was only one, or only the other, then the first husband would actually be allowed to remarry her. And for that matter, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Rashi says it means that if she was mizana, so Rav's din is talking according to the Chachamim, that if she was mizana, then there's no zika. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur would disagree with that and say she's still mutter to her first husband. Therefore, the zika would still apply if he dies without children. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. Bominate of Yehuda Merav Sheshes. So now a related question. What happens if the first husband was over on this? Let's say she remarried, and therefore, definitely, even Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur says that she's also to him. She remarried; they had relations. She and her new husband did kiddushin and nisuin and everything. And now her second husband died or divorced her. We know that for her to return to her first husband and remarry him would be an isur lav. Everybody agrees to that
because
there was both havaya and tumah, but. What happens now if her first husband was over on that lab and remarried her? And then he dies. Tzara samahu. So what would be the din as far as her tzara? So she herself, for sure, again, we would say once it says tumah by her, then we would say tumah chsib bakarayas, and Rav's din would apply, and therefore there's no chalitza and no yibum with her. But the question would be only on her tzara. So, now the question would not be according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Kiven to Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Tumah b'machzor grushase u'dekseiva tzarasa kamaya. He says that the word achri asheru tamah refers to exactly that case. Well, therefore, we apply what Rav is saying. Anytime it says tumah means there's no zika, well, here it says achri asheru tamah, therefore no zika. And therefore no zika means there's no zika with the tzara either, because whenever an erva is poita tzarasa, and therefore she's also, because it says by her tumah, she's also poita tzarasa. So according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, then there'd be no question. Now you could say that maybe not. Maybe actually, when it comes to this case of Machzor Grushase, 7:45. So in this case of Machzor Grushase, And the Torah says that the Torah says ki so'eva he lipnei Hashem, and the he is a mute. So you're going to argue that the mute means maybe it doesn't come to be mamayit etzara. So no, you would say no. It means he to'eva ve'en bonneho to'evin. It means that she is to'eva. The husband is not allowed to remarry her, but if he does, the children are not mamzerim. That's we learn that from that word to'eva he. At the end of Shas, like three or four blocks before the end, the Gemara brings a whole bunch of questions that the Anshe Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua, and one of them was this: that Master Grushosai or the children Mamzerim, and he answers them with the implication of the pasuk Toeva he Toeva Vein Bonel Toeva. So you're going to say that the miut is for that Hotzarotza Toeva. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur would still say that he is only coming to say that the children are not mamzerim, but nevertheless, it would still mean that tzara is equally osur, is equally osur. So there's no zika with either her or her tzara, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Kiti boy lo chalib de rabbanon. The question is really going to be according to the Chachamim. Af agav de omer rabbanon truma besoito hudikiv. Now the Chachamim are saying that the words achre asheru tamaa in that section are referring to the soita. However, ein mikra yotzi midei pshuto. After all, we can say the pasuk doesn't lose its pshat meaning either. On a pshat level, it is talking about this case of master grushasei. Therefore, we should say that truma applies to her as well, and therefore we should say that the tzara should also be potter from yibum. Or maybe not. Once the Chachamim are uprooting the word achre asheru tamah and referring them to a completely different case, maybe that's it. So there's nothing that says the word tuma by Master Grushase at all, and therefore there's no reason to pater the tzara. She herself would be potter. Or she herself, actually, even the Chachamim would say she herself is not necessarily potter. She would need chalitza. But the question would be, what about her tzara? And by the way, we're going to have cases in the Masechta where you have what's called chalitza psula, namely where you have or not really chalitza psula is actually something slightly different, but whatever. You're going to have cases where the chalitza is not really as good as it should have been because for various reasons involving sphakis and other things like that. And sometimes you have all the wives need chalitza. To be on the safe side. We're going to have cases about that later on in the Masechta. So therefore, in this case, we might say that maybe both of them need chalitza because it's not a chalitza ma'ula. Only a chalitza ma'ula patters all the other women. Yeah. Anyway, but here we're talking about the tzara. So according to the Chachamim, maybe we would say the tzara is potter, maybe not. Ikadamri, another version of the question goes that Rabbi Yehuda asked Rav Sheshes, according to the second version, Alibad Rabbanan Loiti Barilach. On the contrary, there's no question, according to the Chachamim, that she would need chalitza because kivin de Isakar, Iakar. Once the Chachamim are saying that the words Achre Asheru Tamar are referring to a whole different case of Soita Shanistra and not at all about the Master Grushasai, then it's uprooted, therefore it doesn't say Tumah by Master Grushasai at all, and there's no question, therefore, that Chalitza is going to be required, according to the Chacham. Because there still is a Zikr, it doesn't say Tumah. So again, the case is where Reuben was married to Rachel, he divorced her, she remarried an unrelated man, then that unrelated man died or divorced her. She remarried Reuben, which Reuben was also to do that. There was an issur lav. Reuben now has another wife. So now when Reuben dies, what's going to be the din with the tzara? Is she potter from chalitza or yibum, or does she need chalitza?
Even though there was a lav.
So even though there was a lav. So that's according to the first lashon, we said the question would be according to Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, no question that they're potter. The question would be according to the Chachamim. In the second lashon, the other way around, according to the Chachamim, definitely she's chayev. Kitiboy lach alibed Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur. The question would be according to Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, would she be chayev or not? My, what would be the din? Now, on the one hand, we can say he says that it says tumah in connection with Machzor Grushasai. Nevertheless, miyat rachmana he te'eva ve'en tzarasa te'eva. Nevertheless, since we have the words ki te'eva he, maybe the he is actually meant to be a miyut, that only she is te'eva and her tzara is not, and therefore tzara would require chalitza and maybe even could do yivum. Or maybe the he is only coming to me mamayit, that the children of this Rachel and Reuben are not going to be mamzerim, but not to exclude hutzara. So we have two different versions of the question. Amalei, said Rav Sheshes, answers him, kinisuha. We learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta that will address your question. The Mishnah says, hoisa achas ksheira v'achas psula. Suppose of the two wives, one of them is, one of them is kosher and one of them is pasul. Now, we know, as we said, if you do yibum mechalitza with one of them, it patters the other one. So now, what happens if one of them is kosher and one of them is pasul? The pashtus, we're going to understand. Kosher means that she's kosher to marry a koyin as well. Namely, she's not a grusha, she's not a zoyna, she's not a halala. And psula would mean that, for example, she had previously been married and divorced, and therefore she's also to a koyin. In other words, she had previously been married and divorced, then she married Reuben, then Reuben died childless, and now Shimon is doing, yibum mechalitza with her. So the Mishnah says, imhoya cholitz cholitz b'psula. If he's going to be doing chalitza, he should be doing it with the one who's posel. She's already the one who's posel. So we're going to figure out in a minute what we mean by ksheira and psula. What we just said about kosher and posel to a koyin is what the Gemara is going to answer the maskana. But the Gemara is assuming to begin with that ksheira and psula mean ksheira to marry anyone else and psula to marry anyone else. So one second. So im ha yecholat cholat b'psula. If he's going to do chalitza, then he should do chalitza with the one who's psula. Im ha yemiyabim yabim l'ksheira. If he's going to be doing yibum, he should do with the one that's kosher. So my ksheira or my psula. What do we mean? What do the words ksheira and psula mean? Ilema ksheira ksheira la'alma psula psula la'alma. Do you mean that ksheira means? To marry a koyin, to marry anybody in the world, including koyanim, and psula means that she's possible to marry a koyin, namely, for example, because she's a grusha. So then, what do you mean? Kivin de l'didechazia. After all, the brother who's marrying her is not a koyin. It doesn't matter. L'didechazia, she either one is suitable to him. My nafkalamina. What's the difference to him? Why we would say that he should do yibum with one and chalitza with the other? Obviously, doesn't it mean that the word ksheira and psula has to mean relative to him? Namely, this case of machzor grushasa. So therefore, the psula would be Rochel, who was remarried and was oivran alav, and the ksheira would be Leah, where no such thing happened. She remained married to Reuben the whole time. And you're saying that he can do yibum with the ksheira, he can do yibum with Leah. So that would clearly answer the question that yibum is possible in such a case. Therefore, there's your answer. So according to the first version of the question, this would have to be talking about according to the Yosi ben Kippur. And we're asking whether it would according to the Chachamim. According to the second version, we'd be saying that there is the answer that according to the Yosef and Kippur, yes, the miyut is only on her, not on her tzara. So there's your answer. So the Gemara says, "Loi la'olam ksheira ksheira la'alma psula psula la'alma." Not necessarily. The words ksheira and psula could, in fact, be as we thought originally, that it means one of them was previously a grusha and the other one is not. So one of them is also to a koyin anyway, and the other one is not. So you're saying, well, what's the difference? Either way, both of them are equally mutter to her. Why are we saying if he's doing chalitza, he should have to do chalitza to the psula? The reason is, Mishum de Rabbi Yosef is based on what Rabbi Yosef says. The Amr Rabbi Yosef can shana Rebbe in connection with that Mishnah. Rebbe taught a din lo yishbech adam may bore v'acherim tzurichim lahem. A person should not pour out and waste water from his pit where other people might need it. So even where there's not necessarily an issue of bal tashchis, just the fact there's something that might be useful for somebody else in the future, don't waste it. The same way over here. So what we're saying is, one of these women, so let's forget about the case of Machzor Gerushasa a second. Rachel was previously divorced, so she's also to a Kayin. Leah was not. So now, a Chalutza is going to be also to a Kayin. So therefore, if now the brother does Chalitza with Leah, then he's now, you have two women who are possible Kohona. So why should he do that? Instead, if he's going to do Chalitza, let him do Chalitza with Rachel. She's anyway already also to a Kayin. So giving her Chalitza is not going to make her any more also to a Kayin. So that way, you're still preserving Rachel that she's able to marry a Kayin should she so choose. So therefore, so not necessarily are we even talking about a case of Machzor Gerushasa over there. We can be talking about just a regular case where one of them is also to a Kohen and the other one is not.
When it's us to think because her,
let's say because she was a Gerusha previously. She was previous before she ever married Reuben. She was married to somebody else and divorced. And now she's also to a Kohen. And of course, you have the other cases as well. Zona, Halala, whatever. The point is, for whatever reason, she's possible to a Kohen, and whereas the other one is not. So we're saying if you're doing it in do chalitza with one, do it with the one who's anyway possible to the Kohen rather than passeling another woman unnecessarily. So no proof from that one way or the other. Toshma, let's bring another proof. A braisa says, Amachzor Gerushasa Mishinisis, a man remarries his grusha after she was remarried, he vitzarasa chalitzas. So she and her tzara need to do chalitza. And what's it? Even tzarasa salvadaydach. What do you mean? Not, certainly not she and her tzara don't need chalitza. You do chalitza with one, you pop to the other one. Ela ema oihi oi tzarasa. So therefore, it has to mean either she or her tzara. So therefore, you see the answer that yes, chalitza is going to be needed. You don't say that tumak sivaba and therefore they're potter. Listen, as it is, you're saying that the Braisa obviously has a mistake in it because you're saying you have to correct it because it says the word he vitzarasa and you're having to correct it. So then, tritzachi. So then, you in that case, you might as well go and rewrite the Braisa as follows. He chalitzas, she is going to need to do chalitza. She certainly can't do yibum. Tzarasa oy chalitzas oy misyabemes, but her tzara can do either chalitza or yibum because the fact that she is also with an isulab. Again, we say yi toyeva, but not her tzara, and therefore her tzara is like any other woman, and she can do chalitza or yibum. But if the brother wants to do something with her, it's dafka going to have to be chalitza because she was already also to her husband by an isulab, and therefore the brother shouldn't be doing yibum with her. If he did again, then it would be chal because. It would be chal because it's only an istur lab, so kedushin archifus. But he shouldn't because she was also to her husband by an istur lab, but not her tzara.
The lab would be every day.
And the lab would be it would pashrus every time they have relations. Be around the lab, yeah. So the Gemara finishes off that discussion. we'll leave that actually for Shabbos afternoon, Rez Hashem.
Okay, see you Shabbos.
Good.
In here it's Hashem.
That's Hashem. Oh, yeah.